Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is the Steve Jones Show, where today we focus a little bit on golf. They are working.
They're working
at the U.S. Open.
We're also going to talk about the PIAA. We're going to ask some of the questions that you had with not quite the vitriol that you put in them.
So, in other words, you're going to soften it up a lot.
No, I'm going to ask questions people can answer other than what the heck's going on.
But that's a great question. What is going on? I think that's a very good question, a very appropriate question.
Well,
yes.
Let me put it this way. There might be legal reasons that...
Well, that's a whole other issue, though.
Well, we're obviously Captain Emotion over here.
That's a whole other issue you're talking about there.
How come my team can't advance? All right.
I never asked that question.
What are you talking about? That's what this is all about.
No, I just want to know why there isn't a level playing field. That's all.
Not everybody goes into interviews with hate and disdain.
I ask the questions that people want answered.
No, I've never heard anybody ask that question. All right, so...
You need to hang out with me more often, my friend. I know, you're having fun, but you truly understand exactly where I'm coming from.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't want to really hang around the prison system, but it's up to you.
Nice.
Oh, your friends.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
For those of you listening at the Lewisburg Pen, we don't think anything negative about you. Thank you.
No. All right. Let's get to, and Melissa Mertz from the PIAA is going to join us. And we will ask some questions dealing with the Kevin Herr issues.
All you had to say was Kevin Herr has a question, and Melissa would have gone, I know exactly what it is. Melissa's a great person, by the way. Very, very, very accommodating when it comes to helping out the media at the state wrestling championships especially.
What a suck-up move that was. All right.
I've said that to her on the phone as well. I said it to her when I saw her in person.
Oh. Really?
Really. I'm a big fan.
I brought your name up. Didn't bring that kind of response.
Yeah, right. Phil had the lead today, didn't he?
For a period of time. Then he had two bogeys down the stretch.
And what, did he have a 70? Is that what it was?
Yep, shot even par today. Right now he is three shots off the lead, but Brooks Koepka is in a little bit of trouble. He's the leader, 3 under. He's only played 7 holes. Kevin Na's done, 2 under par, 68. Graham McDowell is at, he's done, 2 under par, 68. Dustin Johnson's 2 under through 7. Keegan Bradley is 2 under through 5. Martin Keimer is 2 under through 5. Brant Snedeker's done, 1 under 69 today.
No, actually, Keimer's now 1 under.
Oh, Keimer fell back?
Yep.
Okay. So that's where we are with the U.S. Open Golf Championship. It's really fascinating what they've done. Donald Ross is the one. It's interesting how people have referred to Pinehurst. They say Pinehurst is to United States golf what St. Andrews is to Scotland. Now, I've heard that said. All right, I found that interesting. How many U.S. Opens have been there? How far back does the U.S. Open go at Pinehurst?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the leaderboard.
Oh. I said, how many U.S. Opens has Pinehurst hosted, plus or minus two?
Well, I would say plus.
No, I'm saying plus or minus two. I'll give you like one way to. How many U.S. Opens has Pinehurst hosted?
Pretty sure it's been at least two. No, I was going to say seven.
A lot of people think it would be like seven or eight U.S. Opens because, as I said, some people say Pinehurst is to United States golf what they say St. Andrews is to Scotland. This is only the third U.S. Open they've ever hosted. They never hosted one before 1999.
I was going to say, I've heard Pinehurst an awful lot, but I guess that makes sense in that short period of time, though.
99, 2005, and now this one. So this is what they did. Donald Ross designed this gem of a course in which he used the natural landscape of South Central North Carolina to build the course. And great golf course designers like to take the terrain and make the terrain work to give it its own personality. That's what they like to do, and this is what Donald Ross did. Donald Ross passed away in 1948. Now, what he did was, you know, he let the natural terrain work. Well, over the years, as time went, you know, they started putting, you know, more and more grass in fairway, you know, beyond fairways into rough and so forth. And when they played the U.S. Open there in 99, Pinehurst number two, you know, because Pinehurst is a full resort. I mean, there's, I don't know how many, seven golf courses there? Well, this is number two. And when they played in 99 and 2005, they had graduated rough and so forth, like you see at any U.S. Open, narrowed up the fairways and the whole deal. Well, they wanted to bring the U.S. Open back to Pinehurst number two. And so they commissioned Ben Crenshaw and his partner in golf course design 5 years ago to come in and say, look, we'd like to restore it to where it was. So they looked at what Donald Ross had done with the course when he designed it. And Ross passed away, as I mentioned, in 48. And they found a series of photos that a man took in 1943 on Christmas Day. Christmas Day, 43. In which he took 10 photos of each hole. And they used that as their basic guide to do what they've done at Pinehurst, to bring it back to what Donald Ross designed. There is no rough at the U.S. Open this year. Now, I mean, I'm talking about fairway rough. I mean, obviously around the greens, the collars, and so forth, you're going to get, you know. But there's no fairway rough at the U.S. Open.
Why?
Because that's not the course Donald Ross designed.
And I understand. I understand where that comment's coming from. I understand the point. But to me, the U.S. Open should have amazingly deep rough. It should be thick and it should be vegetation almost. I mean, this should be, it should be punishing when you get into the rough of the U.S. Open.
I disagree with you on that. And the reason I disagree with you is that I think, as you're seeing by the scores today, 68's probably going to lead, which is two under par. The vast majority are going to be even par, and you're going to see afternoon scores go higher because the golf course is dried out, the sun is out, those greens are going to be fast, and the greens at Pinehurst, you really have to hit it to a spot where you can hold the green. There are a lot of false fronts at Pinehurst, which is difficult. I think to be a great U.S. Open course, you just have to be a great golf course to your personality.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think it should, this course should be difficult. Capital
it is difficult.
D. You should not have a tournament of this caliber and the Open, for example, for the British Open should not be a 10-under par tournament.
This is not going to be a 10-under par tournament.
No, you're saying eight.
I'm betting the winner of this tournament ends up being... I bet the winner of this tournament is going to be 1 or 2 under par for the tournament when it's done.
Okay, then I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. There are so many courses on the tour and they're 13 under going into... I'm like, come on, 13 under?
There's nothing wrong with that. People want to see scoring. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, not every golf course is Pebble. Look, Pebble Beach plays differently when it's the AT&T event as opposed to when it's the U.S. Open course.
I've heard that.
I mean, you see it. I mean, you know, and they do what you're talking about with the graduated rough and so forth. And I was at Marion last year, and we had Matt Kuchar was on the show with us last year from the U.S. Open. And, you know, that was a shorter course than what they're used to playing. And I think with the winning score, Justin Rose, I think, was 1 under. I think he was the only guy under par, right?
Right.
Okay. That's fine. That, you know, so that's a shorter course. Rough plays a bigger role in it. Bunkers play a bigger role in it. Now in this course, you get into those waste areas where you could be in a sandy area, you could be in a high grass area, you could be in a weed area. I mean, there's a lot of things which requires different shots. The course just has to be great for the U.S. Open to me on its own merit, and it does not have to be a formula to make it that way.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying don't change the course. Let the course be the course.
Well, I mean, but you can do certain things to it. For example, when they played Oakmont in 2 years in Pittsburgh, just outside of Pittsburgh, well, the course that they're playing today as members, I mean, they're going to take the fairways and narrow them up, and they're going to grow the rough and so forth because that's just the natural terrain of that particular course. And Oakmont's hosted so many major championships, they do it very, very well. That's the personality of the course. They're going to be playing the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay in Washington next year outside of Seattle, and then they're going to be playing it, I think, in Wisconsin in 2017. And those two courses are known for incredible length. I think the one in Wisconsin, 7,800 yards. All right? I mean, length. So that's the personality of that course. Whistling Straits, where they played the PGA Championship, and Jack played there last year, Jack Ham. He calls me, hey, I'm at Whistling Straits. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah,
thanks for sharing.
Yeah, appreciate that. I'm over here at the Phillipsburg Country Club, and you look at that, and again, that's a great golf course that uses the natural resources of being on the shores of Lake Michigan. St. Andrews as a golf course on a benign day,
which are 3 a year.
But if you get one of those, the pros are going to shoot 63, right. 64, yes. 65.
Yes, yes, okay? because a lot of those greens are reachable. A lot of the par fives are reachable in two.
Right. Now, the next part is that when the key is the wind in Scotland, because St. Andrews, 9 goes out, 9 comes straight back in. That's how they do it. But the difference between British golf and Pinehurst is that you get into the waste area at Pinehurst and you take a shot. If you were at the British Open, you could take it out of the waste area and you could run it to the green. Here at Pinehurst, if you attempt to do that, you'll hit a false front and you'll slide back down. Big, big difference. It plays like a British Open course in the waste areas until you have to approach to the green, and then it becomes very much an American course. Great layout. Melissa Mertz, PIAA, next half hour, answering the bitter questions that Kevin has about why his teams can't advance. Felt bad taking in that direction.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. 99 years of flat out getting it done. You can't deal with Tom and his gang, you can't deal with anybody. You actually played a par 6 at Mount Union?
Yeah, Mount Union, the American Legion Country Club. It has the claim to the oldest par 6 in Pennsylvania. It's about, 620, 630 yards. And the reason it popped into my head is because number 10 at Pinehurst 2 is 600-plus yards, but it's only a par 5.
Wow.
It's driver, driver, 3-wood, and then about 4 wedge shots to get it up the hill to the green.
I took
a snowman on that hole, and I was ecstatic.
I guess there may have been one I played that was a par 6. I told you in the break, I can't recall playing any. But I think there was one I played once, and I think it's changed now to a par 5 at Cranberry Valley on Cape Cod. But that's it. Par 6. Wow.
That's a lot of swinging of the club, I'll tell you that.
Oh, sure it is. No question about that. So... Melissa Mertz is with the PIAA, and Penn State is hosting the softball and baseball championships here tomorrow. And after this, I believe the championships are up for bids. We welcome her to the show, and the convenience, obviously, of hosting two of them in the same spot has to be a big plus.
We sometimes have a school that has both a baseball and softball team on championships. So that always bids well for us. And the folks at Penn State certainly know how to run championship games. It's been a win-win.
Organizationally, does it help you to have the two of them in the same location like they are, at least across the street from each other? Organizationally, does that help the PIAA?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime that we get two or more of our championships close together, it certainly helps. We have a small administrative staff. There's only 5 administrators, 13 of us total. So when we have to go a different end of the state, it makes it difficult. When we're right in each other's backyard, it's certainly beneficial.
Obviously, central location helps in a lot of ways, but let's talk about the softball part of it. Phillipsburg Osceola's been in the title game, and they brought people. Baldy Larry's in the title game, along with Claysburg Kimmel, which is close by, too. What has that added? I mean, you have no dog in the hunt, obviously, but what has that added to the excitement having so many local teams actually make it here?
Oh, no question. District 6 is a huge softball and baseball area. For us to have some local teams in, and really to have what we've noticed over the years, a lot of the small rural communities. When it comes to baseball and softball, they bring everybody in their town. They pretty much vacate the town to show up at our championships, which certainly is great for us. It's great for the teens and the girls that are playing and the boys that are playing. So for us to have local is outstanding. We just had our semifinal softball games there on Monday, and we sold out the venue at softball. So we'll take it whenever we can get it.
No question. And what I just talked about, Baldy Galeria, Claysburg Kimmel, Central playing there as well. These are all public schools, Melissa. Has it been brought, has the PIAA discussed at all the issue of parochial schools and charter schools? Because in basketball, 6 of the 8 were either a charter school or a Catholic school. Has that issue been discussed at all?
Yes, at length, to be honest with you. We actually have had a lot of discussion recently regarding charter schools and some policies that we're looking at there. As far as the parochial schools, Pennsylvania is just a bit different than many other state associations. just because back in the 70s, the legislature had enacted that we allow private schools in our association. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of a different setup. We have many times discussed the idea of separate championships or using multipliers, but we feel that really, based on the way that our organization is developed and the way private schools were brought in, that that would not be beneficial. We think that we might incur an unequal treatment challenge by our private schools if we did something like that.
Interesting.
But we are taking a look at the charter schools, because charter schools are actually public schools, but they are very unique in the sense that what they're permitted by law to do that no other school, whether public or private, can do. So, stay tuned.
Yeah, because some people have talked about, quote, Division Five. I mean, you probably can't expand what you're talking about, but is that something that's actually at some point, at least in the, hey, let's brainstorm some ideas, has that been one of them that's ever been brought to the table?
Yes. It's been coined many different phrases. I guess we've looked at a couple different options, but we sat down, we made sure to what we did when we do sit down and talk about this, that we include those representatives from those organizations. So we have individuals from the Catholic Conference in Pennsylvania. We have individuals that represent charter schools. We always make sure that they're included in these conversations because, you know, we're certainly not trying to sabotage anybody or certainly not trying to send the wrong message to any of our membership. But, you know, we do hear loud and clear from our public schools, especially as you brought up now basketball championship season, that they think that there's an unfair advantage. So we will continue to look at it. Like I said, our big issue now is with the charter schools, and that's probably where you're going to see development, you know, in the next couple of years.
Melissa, give me an idea of the strength of the PAIAA, where it is now compared as an organization to even a year ago.
Oh, I think we're in a great position. 2 years ago, we took on a new executive director, Dr. Robert Lombardi, who was the associate previously. And I'll tell you what, the man has great vision. He's taken our association to new areas, and he's really done a great job in terms of increasing public relations with our schools, communication with our schools, and you know, I think he has the association headed in the right direction. So financially, we're sound. I think, you know, public relations-wise, we're very sound. We have good relationship with the media, and we hope we can continue that.
Right. You mentioned that he's opened up communication with the schools. The issue that I just talked about, which we talked about in three separate questions about parochial and charter and public schools, how important has his communication been with all of those parties so everyone knows where the PIAA is coming from and he knows where they're coming from? Just the pure communication, how hard has he worked at that, obviously?
Very hard. It's actually been probably front burner for him. Not only has he opened up the communication between our office and that membership, charter schools, public schools, private schools, but he's involved the Pennsylvania Oversight Council more so than we ever have in the past. And he makes sure that they know exactly what's going on, what our ideas are, where we're headed. He keeps them in the loop, keeps our board of directors in the loop. So, yes, he has worked very hard in making sure that the membership knows, hey, this is why we're bringing this issue forward. You know, this is our standpoint. This is the background behind it. Just in the month of April, all of us as staff traveled around the state to every different district, and we spoke to the schools about the front burner, the hot burner topics, charter schools, some other things regarding sports-specific policies. So he's definitely worked hard, like I said, and I think the biggest thing is the fact that he keeps everybody informed about what's going on.
Venues always very important. We've talked about Penn State being a venue for softball, baseball, Shippensburg forever, Hershey, and so forth. How does the PIAA look at venues? What's important? Location, money? Give me a priority list as to how a venue can rise to the top in the PIAA's eyes so that they're considered.
Sure. I'm glad you asked that question because I think that's one of our biggest struggles, that people sometimes misunderstand what goes into decisions and picking sites. And I would like to say that it's not always very easy for us to select a site, and we'll take everything that goes before the finals. A lot of times we obviously, by our policy, we try to find a site that's midway between two schools. Well, take into consideration that we're at the end of the year, for example, in our spring championship, schools have put their fields away, they've graduated, their schools are closed. So for us to go to a school, a mutual site, and say, hey, can you open up your softball field? We're bringing, you know, four teams in and 2,000 people. It's not always an easy task, but we're very grateful for schools or universities that open their fields and their gyms to us, because it's not an easy thing to put on some of our games. And then as far as the finals are concerned, we go through an RFP process. Any type of facility can bid on any of our championships. We send the information out. We post it on our website. And, you know, some of our championships, unfortunately, we really don't get a lot of bids in. But some championships, we're fortunate that we might get four or five facilities that are interested. And really, it's not just financial. It's about a 26 different point criteria that we look at. Everything from location to the facility itself, parking, seating, you name it, concessions, everything that's available to those fans and those teams that are coming in. And that's our process. And we rotate that. Like this, after our spring championships are over, we'll be putting these spring championships up for bid again.
Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. Appreciate the time and also how direct you were with some of the questions and your answers today. I think a lot of people appreciated that very much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for allowing me to join you today.
That's Melissa Mertz, PIAA, answering the questions that you, the fans, don't have, but only Kevin has.
And that's what this show's all about, right? Oh, it's not? Now, I'm very glad that they're looking at it, and I do understand what she's talking about the difference between with charter schools, and I'm glad they recognize that. That's a very positive thing for a lot of basketball fans especially.
Well, legally, though, when it comes to parochial schools, Catholic schools,
right,
sounds to me like they're in a box and they really can't do anything about that.
No, it does appear that way.
Which I thought was the most intriguing answer. Charter schools you can handle because they are public schools. I mean, so you can handle that part. They are public schools.
But the way I took it was you can't lump those in with the private schools because you still have that same issue.
No, they can designate where a charter school happens to be or put a separate division if they want to.
Or designate the area they can draw players from, let's say.
Yes.
See, that's the real issue with the charter schools and the private schools is the area they have in which to draw from.
Right. Well, and that's where they obviously are having extensive conversations about what to do with that. Extensive. And I think that that's the important part of all of this is how that this is not one of those, oh, come on, just go play. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. It's quite the opposite, in fact, that they are, that Lombardi and his group are, you know, they see it. They know it's an issue. And because of that, they want to take a good, long, hard look at it. You know, I know it's hard for you to accept that. Oh, well. I mean, again, the question comes down to, why aren't my teams moving forward? You're shaking your head. I know you are.
I always shake my head on this program.
Well, I think you need medical attention then. We will come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
I believe what Todd Bartley is going to be joining us from the Crosscutters, correct?
That is correct. That'll be coming up in about 10 minutes from now.
Get to talk about them.
Are you talking about the Crosscutters?
Yeah. Them.
You're already in them, us mode?
Them.
Wow, I didn't think that would happen till at least game time.
No, them. Like I care. All right. when it comes to this, like,
and now here's the voice of the State College Flex. Like I care, Steve Jones.
Well, I mean,
that'll change the open completely.
Versus the us versus them thing. You know, like, you know, come on. I don't do that with anything.
I know.
I mean, anything. You'll sit there and you'll tell me about demographics about all these other radio stations. I'll be like, I don't care what they're doing. Which drives you insane.
And here's Steve Jones. They changed the open just now. So they changed the open just now for Crosscut or for Spikes Baseball.
I'm just saying, it's like, if it drives you nuts, I don't get into the, you know, I just like the rivalry. I can't talk to them the whole thing. And I've had some guys that announce other teams, like, they don't really talk to you beforehand. You're like, okay,
well,
fine.
I've never done
care.
That. I've never gotten that far with it. I mean, I'll play it up on the air for, you know, entertainment purposes, but not to the point
I'm talking to anybody. I'm talking now in the Big Ten, no. Okay, but I've had a couple of times where it's like, I'll say, okay, fine, really, live your own life, make your own mistakes. Okay.
Wow.
I don't get it. And you know how, and you'll talk to me about other stations, they're doing this and this, and I'm like, I don't care what they're doing. I only care what we're doing. Are we doing it right? And that attitude drives you insane.
There's a lot of things that drive me insane.
Oh, brother. You all right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm getting a little worried about you.
Well,
you all right?
I just found that there's a new football that will be used this year, according to the PIAA.
Does it have laces?
I'm just wondering. Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. As of July 1st, you will use the Pro 5.
Okay.
My opinion is that this is because they have changed sponsorships for the official football. Whereas for a few years it was Wilson, I believe now it's Rawlings. And that may be why they're coming out with new information, because there's a new baseball, basketball, soccer, softball, and volleyball. So it sounds to me like the PIAA has adjusted their sponsorship as the company that is providing the official ball.
Oh, is everybody?
Well, this
using
is
the
this
same
is
ball?
Important stuff.
Is everybody using the same ball?
Not yet. as of July 1st, they will be. But this is important stuff because now teams have to go buy new balls, new game balls, which they probably would anyway. But the question is, are they any different than the ball they used last year? So parents are thinking, do I have to go out and get a new ball for practice around the house?
You're kidding me.
No. Why would I be kidding you about that?
You're kidding me.
Wait, you mean to tell me your kids played sports and you never got them a ball so they could just throw it around the house?
I just bought them a ball. I didn't go out and go, oh, what ball do they use?
Worst parent ever.
No.
You gotta be kidding me. Just get a ball, kid. All right, I don't care which one.
Okay.
Yeah. The boys played football, right?
Yeah.
Did you just get one off the shelf?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Dad, why is this one spongy? The one we play in high school isn't spongy. That's because it's a Nerf, son. Just use it.
No, I just got them a ball. After that, they have between 7-on-7s and training camp and things like that. They play enough with the ball that they think they're going to use in a game anyway. What's the difference? God, Kevin, do not overthink life.